Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, November 20th, Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. It's a regular business meeting. So the first matter on our agenda is requests from visitors and speakers from the floor. This is an opportunity for people to speak to the Board of Aldermen about matters that are not already on our printed agenda. I have now one person who signed up, but appears to be to speak on a matter that is on our agenda related to the library, possible library sites. So I'll call on you, Mr. Brown, and when we get to that item. Is there anyone who came here to speak tonight on a matter that's not on our agenda? Okay. If not, I don't believe we have any resolutions or proclamations tonight. Is that correct? Yes, it is. Or it's going to be. That brings us to our consent agenda, Mr. Manager.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the board, there's four items on your consent agenda. The minutes from November 13th. Also, a request to set a public hearing for the closure of street closing application for the St. Paul AME 5K, and that public hearing is in your agenda. It should be January 20th of 2013 rather than 12. Also for a recombination at 410 Lloyd Street, as well as a resolution approving the administrative guidelines and policies for the CDBG grant. And I might add that there is an additional document on the dais. The modified motion would include equal access to housing regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. That has been added.
Move the items.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
All those opposed?
Thank you, Mayor.
All right. Alderman Slade is excused this evening. He is not feeling well. He's got a cold or something, and so he will be joining us at our next regular meeting, we hope. And I believe that brings us to item D1, approval of agreement with El Centro Hispano for Community Outreach Services. Mr. Manager.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, members of the board, this is an item, I believe, back around June of 11 that came for the board. And, of course, you all put money in the 12-13 budget for a community outreach program. And I also know that, Mayor, that you and Alderman Haven O'Donnell have worked real hard to bring this to an agenda. That's probably, I want to mention that Colleen Blue from El Centro is here, as well as Molly DeMarco, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Are there any questions for the staff?
I have a question. Yep. Do we have an updated contract that stipulates the modified wage range? Because the resolution we're asked to approve says in accordance with the approved agreement. So I want to make sure the agreement we're referencing is
the
update.
We do have another number. I don't know that we formally got the revision for it. I believe it's $12.13.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
So we could make that change to the contract.
Okay. Well, I'll move the resolution adding the phrase at the end of approved agreement stipulating a lower range of 12-13.
I have some questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah. In the resolution, I was I didn't understand why on attachment one, it looks like we adopted this from someplace else. In the introductory, it says improving the quality of life of Latino residents in Durham, Carrboro, and Chapel Hill, and I just wasn't quite sure. I may understand why Durham's there. I don't understand why Durham's listed first.
Yep, go ahead.
Could you come up to the microphone?
Just come on up to the mic so people at home who are watching this right up here.
Which page are you looking at, Kathy?
It's attachment one with the job title, the description of the outreach coordinator. I don't want us to officially pass something that primarily has us serving residents of Durham.
I'm assuming that that's there because that's our official mission statement as an organization, but that's not the purpose of the funding.
And I wouldn't want the outreach coordinator that Carrboro is paying. I don't want the job description to then lead to Carrboro helping to pay for somebody who's spending a lot of time over in Durham.
And I know that was not the intention.
Okay, so is it okay if we scratch Durham from that in the job description of the outreach coordinator?
Yes, I think that'd be fine.
Okay, so I'd like to first amend the resolution and scratch Durham from that. It's attachment one with the job title outreach coordinator. And then I'm a little concerned where it has note after the specific responsibilities where it says that El Centro reserves the right to modify this job description as it sees fit in the responsibilities within the job change. Would that mean that the job description could change without Carrboro kind of knowing about it or having a say in it? I'm reluctant to approve that.
That is just typical wording in our job descriptions. So I think that could be open to change.
If this is a contract with Carrboro, I'm not quite sure that I would want, uh-huh. because this is specifically what we're contracting to have done.
Right.
So I would like to have that line deleted as well from what we pass. Not that if you wanted to change something, you couldn't come and talk to us and we'd probably go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I just don't want that in our official contract with you.
Okay.
And my other concern is that we have, and you probably know this better than me, an awful lot of day workers who are not Latino. And I want to be very sure that this service is kind of taking care of everybody without priority or discrimination, that it's taking care of everybody. I understand the importance of having somebody who's dual language in Spanish. I certainly understand that. Our fastest growing population is not Latino right now. It's Asian. And a lot of those folks are Burmese. And I don't expect to have somebody who speaks their language, but I would expect sensitivity to that. And I would also like to ask that we put something in the contract that says that information about workers' rights will be written in the I could be wrong that it's Burmese. I'm embarrassed that
Karen.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's. I think. Let me.
Thank
put a further finer point on it is people from Burma.
Yes.
Okay. Because okay. some of them are Karen, some of them are Burmese.
Yes.
Some of them are other ethnic groups.
Okay. So if you were going to be amending this the way I'm trying to, how would you word that?
In the native languages of the people who are being served.
Okay. So that printed information about workers' rights be available in. And I'd like to add this to the resolution, be available in the native languages of the people being served, and that everybody is served equally. I probably don't need to say that, but if I didn't say that, I'm afraid that the contract kind of sounds like the service would only be for Hispanics, and I don't want to say that because there are other people. As well. So with those changes, with taking Durham out of it and the line that you can make any changes on will, and somewhere in there...
stating that the written materials would be in the native languages of the people.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of where that would be put. Maybe under specific responsibilities that written materials be in the languages of the native languages of people using the service, and that may change over time. Would that all be okay?
No, that sounds great.
Yeah, just, I think we just just lifted something from something
okay.
which we
I
all
will,
do.
I will take that as a second. Is that friendly from
yeah,
the university?
Yeah, Jackie, I want to suggest one other clarification about what town they're serving. On the summary of responsibilities, it refers to city departments, And of course, city, whoever wrote that wasn't thinking of Carrboro because we're not a city.
It's a town.
It could say Carrboro Town Departments explicitly.
Great.
Okay. All right. So it's been moved and seconded. Lydia.
I had a question just briefly about the agreement. And it talks about this agreement will be for 1 year, and then it can be extended for additional successive one-year terms. And one of the clauses says that if the grantee doesn't comply with all the conditions, then they have to repay in full to the town of Carrboro all sums paid by the town to the grantee pursuant to this agreement. So my question is whether that's a kind of a renewing clause or not. In other words, let's say in year five, something happens and we have to cancel. Surely they don't have to go back and repay 5 years. But I'm actually kind of looking at it.
In that fiscal year.
Right. Is it clear that it's just in that year? I guess this might be a question for
Mr.
Mike.
Attorney?
Yeah, I think it is because the contract renews each year, so its obligations and responsibilities will apply year by year.
Okay.
I think the intention of the board will be clear from the record of this meeting, if nothing else. All right. Very good. Thanks, y'all, for paying attention to the details.
Thank you for catching those.
Let me point out, I believe this is incorporated in, but part of the discussion that we had at sort of the committee level, I don't know that we had a formal committee, but anyway, Alderman Randy Haven O'Donnell and I have been meeting with various stakeholders, I guess, on this issue for a while, and part of our last discussion on this subject was centered on the fact that the Human Rights Center is working toward trying to develop a web-based worker center, an electronic worker center, as it's been styled. And our understanding, I think, from that our last meeting was that part of the responsibilities involved in creating this position with El Centro was to help work in support of making that happen. And so I just want to be clear that that's part of the intention here. And the other point I want to make is that I think those of us on the Board of Aldermen may each have different kind of thoughts and attitudes about why we are. I don't think there's any single reason why the Board of Aldermen has agreed to provide this funding, but that there's a kind of multiplicity of different issues and problems that our board feels are important enough to put this funding forward. But that among those issues that are at stake in the decision are trying to make the experience of living near the corner of Davy Road and Jones Ferry Road more appealing for people who live near there. And so I just want to say I don't speak for everyone on the board necessarily, but for my part, that's a key consideration. And improving the quality of life on Davy Road is an important consideration for me, and I hope that y'all will bear that in mind in carrying out this agreement and trying to find ways to reduce the impact of the day labor market on people who live on Davy Road and near the intersection of Davy and Jones Ferry. All right.
Thanks, Mark.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. Those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Thanks very much. Remind us your name. I'm sorry.
Colleen Blue.
And Colleen, I believe, from what I understand, is a resident of the town of Carrboro.
Yes, my neighbor.
Lives in Fox Meadow. Anyway, thanks very much for your work with El Centro and for El Centro's work with this issue.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
And please be sure to thank Pilar.
All right. That brings us to item D2, a presentation on the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Mr. Manager?
Okay. Mr. John Frank from the audit firm of Dixon Hughes Goodman will present the town's comprehensive annual financial report for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2012. John.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the board. Each of you should have received a copy of the bound audited financial statements, as well as a one-page summary that highlights some changes in the current fiscal year compared to the prior fiscal year. And it might be helpful if we, Sir Wade, can put this on the overhead. Okay, great. There we go. Okay. Good. As a result of our audit this year, we issued a clean or unqualified opinion. We didn't identify any material weaknesses in internal controls, and we completed the audit and electronically submitted it to the local government commission by the October 31 deadline. And just like to briefly comment on some of the changes from the current to the prior year. So if you could direct your attention to this handout, I'd appreciate it. If you look at Roman numeral 1, we've shown a comparison of the town's cash and investment balances at the end of fiscal 2012 compared to fiscal 2011, and you can see that the town had total cash and investments of about $18.3 million at the end of the fiscal year, which represented a $1.8 million increase in year over year. So that was a nice about 11% increase in your cash investments. This increase was due to a number of factors, including the increase in fund balance, customer performance bonds for development projects increased, and there was a good collection rate on accounts receivable. Roman numeral 2 shows the general fund available fund balance at the end of fiscal 2012 compared to 2011. You can see available fund balance amounted to about $13.3 million at the end of the year, which was about a $2.1 million increase. And basically, this increase is attributable to the town's revenue sources exceeding expenditures for the fiscal year, as well as some transfers in from the Capital Projects Fund. Roman numeral 3, here we summarize the change in general fund revenues year over year. You can see total revenues amounted to $18.7 million for the town's general fund, which again represented an increase of about $841,000 or 4.7%. And if you'll look at these categories of ad valorem taxes, local option sales taxes, other taxes and licenses, restricted and unrestricted intergovernmental revenues, and permits, fees, other miscellaneous sources, you see that the just about every category showed an increase year over year. One of the largest increases was in the category of ad valorem taxes, which were up about $322,000 this year, in spite of there not being a property tax rate increase. The increase was just due to an increase in the taxable value of property within the town of Carrboro, as well as a slight improvement in the collection rate. But primarily, that was due to an increase in the valuation of property year over year. Restricted intergovernmental revenues, basically grant revenues, were up about $99,000 between the 2 years. A lot of this increase was due to the Powell bill and a planning work grant that were received in fiscal 2012. Local option sales taxes were up $194,000 between the 2 years, just due to probably a continued improvement in the economy. And the just for a point of reference, the local option sales taxes of $3.3 million are pretty close to the levels that they were at in 2008. after 2008, you had a sharp decline due to the, obviously, the economic downturn. But for the most part, that revenue source has gotten back to pre-recessionary levels. Run numeral four, we've shown expenditures year over year by category. Expenditures were up about $307,000 between the 2 years, or about 1.7%, which probably isn't far off from the rate of inflation for 2012. Also, general fund expenditures were budgeted at $19.4 million, but came in below that budget. And Roman numeral five, we've shown just other financing sources and uses for the general fund. This category includes transfers to the fund and from other funds and proceeds from financing. This category also increased. It was up about $455,000. The town, one of the big reasons for the increase was in the area of installment purchase, transfers from other funds was up, and transfers to other funds was down. So the net transfers out of the general fund declined. Under Roman numeral 6, we've shown the percentage of available fund balance to expenditures. This is always a good measure of the health of the general fund. You can see at year-end, the town's available fund balance represented about three-fourths of 1 year's worth of expenditures, which, again, is up over last year. And just for purposes of comparison to other municipalities your size, the state average is probably right around 50% for this year. So you're above the state average. And lastly, we've shown the property tax collection rate, which stayed right at about 99% between the 2 years, just a real slight improvement between at June 30, 2012 compared to 2011. So overall, the town's fiscal health improved this year due to the town managing expenses and seeing an uptick in revenues. And those are the only comments I have, and be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
I have just one, and it's a type of question that if you don't understand it will make it seem like I know a lot. But are these numbers done run on a cash basis or an accrual basis?
Well, governmental financial statements, if you spend any time looking at them, are pretty complex. There's actually a presentation of accrual basis numbers and budgetary basis numbers. The numbers that I've shown here represent, you could call it cash, it's modified accrual, basically receivables that are received within 60 days of year end show up as revenues.
Okay.
And there is an accrual for those items that are paid, shortly after year end, 30, 60 days after year end.
In other words, slide that chart down for a second so we look at the revenue numbers. But the basic essence of what you're saying is with when I see, for example, on the ad valorem taxes line, number 3A, if you will, where we call it says an increase of $322,000. So more or less means that there was an actual increase in money collected to the tune of $322,000.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Right.
In other words, it wasn't just that $322,000 more was
right
supposed to come our way. It's that it actually did.
Right. You show income taxes receivable on your budgetary basis balance sheet, but it's offset with a deferred revenue, so you don't recognize it as revenue until it's collected in cash.
Okay. So. That's helpful to know.
My only comment is, looking at these numbers ending June 30th, and that it's such a strong improvement over the year before, and that, David, you only started in mid-March, and how you did this magic in just 3 months is amazing.
Natural growth. Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
For your presentation.
Thank you, Doris.
I want to point out that for those of you who are not driven by balance sheets, that at least my interpretation of what we just heard from our auditors is that Arch McAdoo and the folks in our finance department are doing an excellent job of looking out for the interests of our taxpayers in our community. And so I just wanted to especially recognize that and say thank you to Arch and to everybody who works in the finance department for all that you do for our community. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll move the resolution accepting the report.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The matter passed unanimously. All right. That brings us to item D3, a resolution regarding a hotel room occupancy tax. Mr. Manager.
How timely. I'm a little concerned that I drank too much coffee before this meeting, and because it's going quicker than I thought, I'm going to be up later than.
Mr. Mayor, with the construction of the Hampton underway and scheduled to be open in May, it's time to implement a hotel room occupancy tax, as well as establish the Carborough Tourism Development Authority, and Mike Bro is going to give just a brief staff report on this item.
You've seen it all before. I mean, in very brief terms, just as the resolutions or the agenda item indicates, it establishes the Carborough Tourism Development Authority, which is required by the statutory statute that authorizes the local act that authorizes us to do this. Establishes the tax at rate of 3%, provides for a three-person board with one-year terms, and that's just the way it's drafted. It could be more than three. It has to be at least three. And as you recall, the actual expenditures are made by or through the authority, not by this board. And there are limitations or specifications as to how that must be spent. Two-thirds of it must be spent on, let's see, how do they phrase it, tourism-related expenditures. Two-thirds of it must be spent on,
travel and tourism.
Yeah, travel and tourism, and the other third. So basically, there's a specification as to how the revenues have to be spent, and there's also some limitations on the interest that the members of the authority must have. See, at least one-third of the members must be individuals or affiliated with businesses that collect the tax in the town, and at least three-fourths of the members must be individuals who are currently active in the promotion of travel and tourism. So that's what it does.
Jackie.
This is a long-anticipated revenue source for our tourism community, for our for everybody in the hospitality industry here, and as well as for our arts community. I would like to suggest that we think seriously about expanding it from three to maybe six, so that it's a larger body of people. But I would also, even more importantly than that, I'd like us to take applications for this from the community and send out to our local businesses, to everybody involved in the arts. I could fill this committee myself in a couple minutes going down list of people who I know are interested. I'd rather not do that. I would rather take strong applications from people and review them as we would for any other citizen, for groups.
Ms. Baker, I just point out one thing that relates to that. It says, again, well, at least one-third of the members must be individuals who are affiliated with businesses that collect the tax in the town. So that we will not have but one business. So
right.
If you go to six, that would be two people from the hotel.
Two people from the hotel.
Which is, just so I just point
which
it out.
Which we can do. But
yeah.
Right. It's important to realize. Lydia and then Dan.
Yeah, and I guess to follow up on what Jackie had to say, first of all, and it also says at least three-fourths must be individuals currently active in the promotion of travel and tourism. So, we'll certainly solicit folks someone that could meet that criteria. My question was more of right now we have three on this group, yet you know, it talks about how three-fourths have to be yada yada. So it's almost like we don't even have enough to meet the three-fourth.
One-third plus three-fourths is more than one.
So I'm thinking at a minimum we might need to go to five. And keep an odd number, just a thought I had.
So five or seven.
Dan?
Yeah, two things. One is that in 8A-5B, there's a typo where it says members need no reside within the town. I believe that should be not reside within the town. And the other thing in terms of expanding the board and how it's filled, I think it's important to bear in mind that those funds are largely encumbered by the parking deck payments for the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I think you don't want to get people excited about the prospect of spending $100,000 when $90,000 of it mm-hmm. is committed.
But 10's a lot.
But 10 is still significant. That's right.
Yeah.
But I think just to be clear about that point going in, and that I think when you all are appointing people to it, since they're going to be independently making those decisions, I think it needs to be clear that it's the expectation of our board that for those first 5 years, the parking deck commitment has to be maintained through those tax revenues.
Mr. Attorney, can you clarify?
What the statute provides is that two-thirds of the, it says at least two-thirds of the funds must be devoted to promote travel and tourism, which has a definition, which is to advertise or market an area or activity, publish and distribute pamphlets and other materials, conduct market research or engage in similar promotional activities, et cetera. The one-third can be, and so I would not read that to include parking deck funds. The one-third is tourism-related expenditures, which are expenditures that in the judgment of the authority are designed to increase the use of lodging facilities, meeting facilities, and convention facilities.
Where are you reading from?
I'm reading from Section 8A4, numbers 2 and 3. So I think clearly the parking deck funds fall within that one-third. So I think, as I mentioned to Jackie earlier, obviously it's up to the board and the tourism authority, but I was sort of somewhere I got the impression that the promote travel and tourism funds would probably, I think it was, Mr. Mayor, I think it was you that mentioned it, that they would probably involve with a contract with Orange County or somebody who's in this business, as opposed to hiring. I don't think it's contemplated that we'd be hiring staff to do this, or they would be hiring staff to do that. And then the other one-third would be going to the parking deck fund. And that's
right.
My sort of expectation, which is worth not much. But
so, but without getting too numbers-driven quite here and yet, I think the point is that we have an obligation toward paying for the parking deck for 5 years after it opens.
Does that have to come out of that, or can it just come out of the tax?
Well, it can only a third come out of that. That's what Mike's saying.
No, the money for the parking deck, I didn't know that had to come out of the travel and tourism excise tax. I thought that came out of just the general property tax for the hotel.
The agreement to participate in the construction of the parking deck was entered into, or was discussed by the board. What was presented, the concept that was presented was that some of the funds would be derived from the one-third, the tourism-related mm-hmm. expenditures, and the rest of the funds would be generated by an increase in property tax that would be the result of the existence of the hotel.
Right.
And that between those two, it would pretty well cover the expenditures for the parking deck. That was how it was presented, as I recall.
Although we did specifically peg the maximum payment to no more than the revenue from the occupancy tax.
That's correct.
I guess I didn't understand what was going on, because I thought in doing that that I didn't know about this definition you just read us at that time. So I thought that when I voted for that, I thought we were saying that it was going to be the occupancy tax that was paying for the parking deck, because otherwise I wouldn't have voted it, because I don't believe in using property tax revenues for that kind of purpose to support projects of developers.
Well, no, let me, well, the hotel okay. property tax.
Well, okay. So the construction of the new hotel is going to generate new tax revenues for the town of Carrboro in two ways. One is hotel motel occupancy tax, and the other is the increase in value in the real estate where it stands. So going from basically the vacant bike store building to having a new hotel there, which is a considerable increase. And is staff able to give us some like rough numbers on what we think the hotel tax revenues are going to look like? I mean, obviously, it's just an estimate at this point.
It's in here, isn't it?
There's a number in your staff report.
Well, remind.
$115,000.
Okay. And
that's the bed.
That's an occupancy tax. And, do you all have a number on
property
tax? I mean, obviously, again, that's even more speculative in a way, but.
What's the construction cost?
Right. The negotiation between what the values are now and what the expected value is where that money would come from.
Right.
Do we know what the construction costs are for the hotel? Any idea? 50, 60 million. I mean, we can calculate it really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big number, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of a moot point in terms of what our actual agenda item is tonight.
I mean, but I'm trying to, well, it's true. I think it.
And we have to establish the tax and the authority. Regardless of what the actual numbers are,
right? I mean, it's clear.
For sure that, and I think, you know. Anyway, the really key upshot of it is that, and correct me if I'm getting the proportions wrong. We've mentioned a bunch of fractions now, but is it 2/3 mm-hmm. of the money overall of the hotel occupancy tax mm-hmm. needs to be spent on visitor promotion, as opposed to visitor services.
That
visitor
is correct.
Promotion.
Right.
Okay, and so visitor promotion is the type of activity that for example, the Chapel Hill, Orange County Visitors Bureau, or whatever it's called, is engaged in.
That's correct.
For example. Okay. Right. So it's the other 1/3 of the money that we have a good bit of flexibility about
right.
how we would spend in the future.
Right.
Except that, recognize that for the first 5 years after the parking deck is completed, the notion is that that money, or the bulk of it anyway, is going toward the parking deck.
Right. So
plus, if I follow the numbers I just heard, plus actually, the parking deck is also being paid for partly by new property taxes collected on the increased value mm-hmm. of that real estate right there.
So,
okay.
So if we entered into a contract with the Tourism Bureau, we would have to have a lot, we would have to be a lot more specific about what Carrboro was going to get
Absolutely.
For adding to that.
Absolutely.
And that could be something that this panel, this new group, could have some input into if we got a good enough, you know, if we got the kind of group I'm hoping we'll get by putting out a call for applicants.
Absolutely. And I think, so let's just to put maybe kind of a, not too fine of a point on it, but I think the point is that realistically, presumably what we're going to do here, or what this panel is going to do, is for the two-thirds of the hotel tax that has to be spent on visitor promotion, that the way they're going to spend that is through some type of contractual mm-hmm. arrangement with the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau, but that more specifically there's the opportunity there to have some, you know, that doesn't mean just saying, well, we're going to write you a check for right. two-thirds of it, but right. but rather we're going to write you a check for two-thirds of it, and the expectation is you're going to do X, Y, and Z to promote occupants of our hotel in our town, special events that happen in our community, like the music festival, the comedy festival, the film festival, mm-hmm. things like that. Some of which, frankly, they already do.
Right.
But point is that there'll be a little more mm-hmm. detail mm-hmm. about how.
If I may,
is that.
Yeah, but, you know, the Visitors Bureau isn't the only one who can be contracted with, and I would hope that the authority would accept, like, proposals from, you know, whether it's from, you know, the Art Center, even the town itself, if we want to do visitor promotion activities, perhaps could be eligible for funding, or the Arts Committee, or, you know, or the Film Festival as an entity, any number of organizations could do either a project or an aspect of an existing project that was specifically geared toward this idea of promotions toward visitors, and that would be, by their nature of who those entities are, very explicitly geared towards Carrboro, as opposed to more broadly Orange County and Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
And this gets really, I mean, I'm glad. I'm not sure I 100% agree with where you're headed with that, but I'm glad you said it, because I want to be really clear about this is that any discussions that happen, whether it's RFP or what have you, whatever the discussions are with the Visitors Bureau, or for that matter, anybody else who's interested, I think it clearly needs to be in the context of that reality, that we are required to spend this money on visitor promotion. That doesn't mean necessarily any one particular entity. But to my way of thinking, there's one entity in our county who's especially well qualified in that regard, but I would expect whoever we appoint to this committee to be, you know, making sure that they're looking out for the interests of our community. And I think, you know, frankly, I don't see how any of this will be really a problem in practice, because mm-hmm. I think the folks at the Visitors Bureau are sensitive to exactly the issues that we're talking about. But
okay. Yeah, and I just, you know, like to point out to the rest of the board, you know, I've been on the Visitors Bureau Board of Directors for 3 years. It's the Orange County Visitors Bureau, and it's set up to serve the entire county. And they've been actively promote Carrboro in many ways and have for many years without a dime, you know, from mm-hmm. our town. And Chapel Hill has, you know, allocated a certain amount of money every year toward the Visitors Bureau for years. And
is that general fund as well as that?
They were set up, and maybe Annette knows a little, but they were actually set up before this tourism authority legislation came around where we had to do it this way. They have it more carte blanche. And so they willingly decide where they could keep a greater percentage even to give a certain amount every year to the Visitors Bureau. So this past year, it was even kind of an interesting kind of negotiation that they went through on how much they were going to allocate toward the Visitors Bureau. We don't have that say because we have this authority that's going to be the ones responsible for it. But I think we need to make sure that the folks on the authority kind of really understand how the Visitors Bureau works and how much it can do for all of us, and how much everyone puts in. I mean, Hillsborough puts in, Orange County puts in, Chapel Hill puts in, and they advertise for all of us. So, and I'm not saying we can't have these other groups perhaps go after some of this money, but I just want to make sure folks understand that.
And I think it's worth noting, you know, we're Orange County government, for example, puts also collects a hotel motel tax, and they will also collect that tax on this new hotel, as they do on every hotel and motel in the county. And they Orange County puts 100% of the revenues into from the hotel motel tax into the Visitors Bureau, where Chapel Hill, it's, I don't know the exact fraction, but it's not even like half. It's more in the range of a third or a quarter or something like that. So anyway, I think our point being our county commissioners have a good deal of flexibility, and yet they're choosing to reinvest mm-hmm. the money in the hotel industry in that way, which is interesting. The other point I would make is that, you know, I think possibly as mayor, I'm a little bit more aware than perhaps the rest of the board is. I apologize for not sharing this information more widely in the past, but a lot of the publicity that Town of Carrboro does receive in national and state publications is a result of what things that the Visitors Bureau does. So that's worth realizing. And we're slated to be featured, for example, Town of Carrboro and many of our restaurants in Carrboro are slated to be featured in Southern Living magazine, for example, in the March issue of 2013. And, you know, I don't read Southern Living, but you know what? A lot of people who spend a lot of money on visiting places in the South do mm-hmm. do read that magazine, and so, you know, the significance of that is worth considering. Anyway, that type of attention that we from time to time get from national and regional publications is often the direct result of the work of Visitors Bureau. So
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
I would like to ask that staff prepare an application for people to apply to be on the authority, and maybe in that and Kathy work together on that. And so if we could get that at our next meeting and then put it out, and we can decide whether we want five or seven on there. I also wonder if what?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I also wonder if you can have a board liaison on it, because it seems like Lydia's not busy enough. But I think with what she does with tourism, that she ought to somehow officially, you know, be able to check in with the chair of that board or something.
Well, and help guide the beginning of what.
Right. So I think whoever is the liaison, while it's me, whoever's right. the liaison to our Visitors Bureau board seems a natural liaison mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah. Okay, so
I could be the designated tourist if you want to buy me a ticket.
There you go.
Come back anytime, Dan. Mr. Attorney, let me ask you a question, because it is a little confusing. So a third of the members of the board have to be from the hotels who are being taxed or affiliated in some way with the hotels being taxed.
One-third of the members must be individuals who are affiliated with businesses that collect the tax in the town.
Uh-huh. And three-quarters of it must be people?
Three-fourths of the members must be individuals who are currently active in the promotion of travel and tourism in the town. The way I read that latter one is that it would seem to me that
those are overlapping.
Those
fractions.
Are overlapping categories.
All right.
So when if you went with the third, which you don't have anything to do with my thinking with respect to the three, was that one third, you just have to have at least one member from the hotel, and two other members from you know, the arts centers or restaurants, or basically anybody who brings in tourism tourists to the town, the art center, the Cat's Cradle, and half a dozen other organizations mm-hmm. or hotels. I mean, or restaurants, whatever.
Restaurants or local artist.
So right. 100% would be.
So so 100%. So the three would work, but you know, I understand for different reasons you want to go to a larger number, which is fine. And, But it seems to me that I don't, that doesn't seem to me to be a problematic allocation here. Because I think there is, I read it as being overlapping. So basically all of the members are going to qualify for. I think the only thing this requires is that you have, if you're going to have six or five, you've got to have two people from the hotel.
Right.
And the rest of them.
Right. But, for example, three quarters of six is five, is it not?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just.
So, I mean, I'm just to point out that, you know, anyway, if you're, as long as you're, anyway, unless you get up into eight, you're not talking about more than one person who doesn't fall into either category.
Right.
Anyway, all right.
Let me just point out that.
And we also need to decide whether the liaison is, is a member.
No, they wouldn't be a member.
They would not be, because the Tourism Development Authority is it says it shall be a public authority under the Local Government Budget and Fiscal Control Act, which means it's going to have annual.
Right.
It's a separate entity. It's going to have its own audit annually. It's going to have its own minutes and the whole.
So we really need a five or seven.
We have an ordinance before us.
Technically, it's a resolution, which for some bizarre reason the statute requires this be done with a resolution, but it effectively is resolution ordinance doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
I did want to point out that the agenda item when this was first brought to approve the lease did have some of the information. It said that currently, the property has a tax valuation of $1.1 million and generates $6,633 annually. And then it says upon project completion, which is talking about the whole thing. But I mean, the thing was presented that if they didn't get the parking deck, as you recall, they couldn't build the project.
Right.
So upon a project completion, the estimated value of the property is $21 million, which will generate $124,000 annually. So that was what was presented to the board back in March of 2011 when the lease was approved. So,
Okay.
So with that addition of asking staff to create an application to come back to the board, I move the resolution.
Well, the resolution right now says three members. What do you need to substitute? Five or?
Seven?
I'm thinking five.
Five's good.
But Jackie, a couple minutes ago, suggested that maybe after the staff bring it back, that we should decide on the numbers. Does it matter?
What sounds like he needs to find
the numbers.
Well, if you're going to establish the board
right.
this evening, you
so
have to
five.
Establish
so
it with a number.
Five.
You could always change it. I mean, it doesn't require public hearings or anything. You could amend it at any time.
Okay.
Look, bring it back with five, how about?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We'll also think about all these numbers in the meantime. But
And keep our... Start thinking about people we could encourage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good.
We did not.
It's been moved and seconded, I think.
It was seconded by Randy.
No.
By Jackie.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
No. She was keeping us honest.
Okay. That brings it. We're, even with that discussion, we're rocketing through this agenda. I believe that brings us to item D4, library site selection discussion. I have Ms. Alex Brown, and I think one other person maybe is here to speak to the board tonight. Is that right? But let me hear from the staff first, but Alex and then.
Okay. Mr. Metz has a presentation for you, but I also want to point out, I think, as you know, Gary Giles is present.
Yeah.
And also Lucinda Munger and Andrea Tullis from the Orange County Library System.
Okay. So we'll hear from the town staff, and then I don't know if the county staff wants to add anything, but we'll hear from them, and then Alex and then Gary.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Board of Aldermen. This presentation will probably look familiar to most of you. You've seen a version of this with several additional properties early on in the discussion of narrowing down the potential library sites. Just a brief overview of the process. Last year, when the Board of County Commissioners declined to purchase the Hillsborough Road property for a library, that set in motion another process wherein the county proposed criteria, the town proposed criteria, and it went back and forth. Several months ago, town staff began working separately from that process to try to put together a list of potential properties for the Board of Aldermen to consider. The list started at 16 properties, was narrowed down to 8 that were presented to members of the Board of Aldermen. There were 3 additional properties that were offered to the town by property owners or agents on behalf of the property owners that were discussed as well. And after those meetings and discussions, it came down to 3 recommended sites. And the 3 recommended sites that are being discussed this evening are 1128 Hillsborough Road, which is directly adjacent to the town's MLK Park site, 401 Fidelity Street, which is adjacent to Westwood Cemetery, and 301 West Main Street, which is Town Hall. I'll briefly go through the 3 properties with some detail. This is the 1128 Hillsborough Road site. Again, this is the MLK Park site right next to it. It's a 3.45-acre site. It's currently on the market right now for $200,000. It is located on a Chapel Hill transit route that serves downtown, which was one of the priorities that the Board of Aldermen identified. It's a little over a mile walk to downtown, and for the purposes of analysis, we use the centroid of downtown as Greensboro and Main. It's currently zoned R15, which is not an appropriate zoning for the library, and there are different ways to remedy that, but that was one of the things we looked at as part of this process, is what the zoning was. Some other nearby items, it's a little over a mile from Carborough Elementary, less than a half mile from McDougal. There's the list of the transit routes that are, the stops that are there that serve downtown Carborough. And you can see this property is an entirely residential neighborhood, with the exception of MLK Park. The second site, again, this is the 401 Fidelity Street site. This area of the property is available for building. This is currently used for the cemetery. The town of Carver owns this. It's an 8.7-acre site in total. Again, about a half of it is available for use. It's about 8/10 of a mile walk from downtown, and it's in an R10 zone at present. Again, would need to be rezoned. This site is half a mile from Carver Elementary and about half a mile from Collins Crossing. We tried to identify some low-income or underserved communities in the analysis, and this is just a reference point as one of those communities. The area around this is residential, but there are some medical office and small retail sites there as well. Final site, again, is the Town Hall site. This site is about 3.96 acres in total, but as you know, most of it is built upon, and I believe the speaker from the public is going to talk to that at some point this evening. It's 3/10 of a mile from the center of downtown. It's in an appropriate zone for a library at present. And just a couple of maps and some census data to put this in perspective. You can see the mix of populations for the 3 sites. And these are measured as households within the census blocks that are nearby.
Can you go back to that for one second? Let me just absorb those numbers.
That's within the census blocks? Is that what you said, Matt?
Yes.
What's that mean? Like a certain perimeter or certain...
Yeah, Trish, if you can help me out here, what's the perimeter for this one? I believe this is within the walking zone. So with, okay. It would be within a 15-minute walk zone.
Okay. So it looks like overall, but the upshot of that is that overall the number of 2 of the sites serve considerably more are within walking distance of considerably more households.
Right. Yes, the two sites are closer downtown, where the density is obviously greater than the Hillsborough Road site.
Thanks.
This map shows the walk zones, the 5, 10, and 15-minute walk zones for the three sites, and they're here. These green stars are the three sites. It's kind of underneath the... those dots that are on the map are transit stops. So this map shows you where the transit stops also are in relation to the sites. And the walk zones are cumulative. The number of persons that are or households that are shown in this farthest walk zone, when we get to this next table, include the people that are in the previous walk zones. And so here's the data for the addresses within a 5, 10, and 15-minute walk from the three sites. This map shows a 5 and 10-minute bike ride from the three sites. Again, this is cumulative data, so the farther out numbers include the preceding numbers, and we did 0 to 5 minutes and 5 to 10 minutes. So I'll go back to that. You can see, you know, it penetrates most of the town within a 10-minute bike ride. And then finally, this is the 15-minute drive service area for the three library sites. As with before, these numbers are cumulative, but you can see that for a Southern Orange County branch library, either of these three sites cover a majority of Southern Orange County, so they meet that criteria. And there's, again, the number of residential addresses within those times from the three sites. And that's the end of the kind of the introduction presentation. I can answer questions, or I can sit down, let the public speak, and come back if you have any other questions.
Well, let me. Does the county staff want to address us on this point, or y'all here to listen mostly?
Hey Mark, I'm interested in hearing if staff's looking for some specific form of direction tonight, other than just what our comments are.
All right, I'll let staff respond to that just a moment.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Board. The county staff is here just to answer any questions that the Board may have, and if we can't answer that, to be sure to forward your questions on to the appropriate county department, if that's planning or asset management or even the county manager's office. So I really have nothing to add to Mr. Alford's presentation to this evening.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Well, let me. Could you restate what your question was?
Yeah, Matt. Is there any specific form of direction staff's looking for tonight, other than kind of general comments on these sites?
I believe we're looking for the board's feedback on these three sites. If the board endorses all three sites, then we would like that direction to forward these on to consideration for the county, or if there's a particular site that you're interested in, to narrow it down. But we want something to provide to the county as these are Carborough's preferred alternatives.
Dan, let me add to that. I think that the county had indicated that they would like us to recommend something to them. They've indicated that they are waiting for us, that the ball is in our court in terms of moving this thing forward in terms of a site. And I believe they'd indicated that the time frame that they're looking at is ideally would probably be in April or so of 2013, and when we discuss some of these various sites, the larger number, I know that another idea that came up was whether or not the town might want to go out and do, the term RFP, but perhaps go out and solicit the community to see if there were other sites that perhaps we had not taken a look at yet. So those are that's the context of what we're looking for, some direction.
Alderman Gist.
This is kind of a follow-up to Dan. So say tonight we say we really like X location. Mm-hmm. What happens next? And what are we looking at having to happen before ground is broken on a library?
County staff, it sounds like you've just been called upon.
Yeah, good.
That's quite all right.
That wasn't a question. No, it's not. No, actually, that's a very sensible question. As Matt said, we are looking forward to any, all three or one or two of the of any of these preferred properties, or as your manager just said, if you prefer to go back out to the public and solicit and have other solicitations as well. But once they are received by the county, whatever your recommendation is, we will do an internal staff review with the other departments, not just the library, but planning, asset management, DEPR, and, of course, the manager's office. And we estimate that if you choose to do one or more, it would take approximately between 6 to 8 weeks for that internal review on the criteria that you designated for Orange County staff to review. And then we would get back to the board with our findings, and then those findings would, I assume, be passed on to the town of Carrboro as well. So that is as far as I know. Alderman Gist, it could be a little bit different depending upon exactly how many properties that the town puts forward to us.
So if we decide on a property and the county commissioners go, oh, great, and so a property's chosen, then what happens? Then how long till we get to a library?
That is not something that I can answer, Alderman Gist. That really is dependent upon the Board of Commissioners. And on the process just that they will do after the staff does its internal review of any of the properties that are suggested.
But I think it's worth noting that the county's capital improvements plan calls for this project to be, I don't know,
16, 17.
Yeah. Okay. 16, 17, so okay. 4 or 5 okay. years out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's usually not noted for being overly pessimistic as far as a schedule. Yeah, go ahead. And then
Matt, I noticed that when our staff was evaluating these three sites based on the Board of Commissioners criteria, that you kind of went through each of the criteria and said how it addressed it, or else said this criteria will be evaluated by Orange County staff. And one of the criteria was whether it seemed like when I was trying to figure out why it needed to go on to them. I think it was, is the property big enough? Do you remember which one I'm talking about?
Yes.
And how come that's
that
not
is
something?
That's criteria in the site capacity. There's the meet minimum acreage and
yeah, meets minimum. How do we not know if it meets the minimum acreage?
Because of a difference in opinion between the Board of Aldermen and Orange County over the structure of the library, whether it's going
story,
to be a single
story
or double story. The county staff are really going to have to evaluate whether it can accommodate their version of the library or the version of the library that the town staff is
okay.
there, or the Board of Aldermen proposed.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, and then we'll hear from Alex Brown.
So in our report, it talks about all of the recommendations having limitations to buildable area, and I'm just wondering if you can share a little bit about what those are for all three sites that we're going to decide.
With 301 West Main site, obviously that's going to require a major redesign of the site because it's already mostly built out. With the 401 Fidelity site, again, half the property is currently in use. There is a small stream, which I don't know the technical definition of the stream. Trish can maybe speak to that, but there's some natural constraints there. And with the Hillsborough Road site, there is a power line easement over part of the site, and so there would need to be some configuration and maybe some collaboration with the town on the MLK Park site to have enough buildable area.
Lydia.
Sorry, my last question, and this might be maybe for more for staff, county staff. Two of these three are available, it seems, could be leased. And so I'm wondering if that's something that just, I'm not certain that was something that early on we thought the county would entertain. So I don't even know if that's we can talk about that right now, but it's relevant, certainly.
There was actually two questions in the criteria about the availability of lease for the property, and it is noted in the criteria that these two sites are potentially available for lease for the county, and the other site is available for purchase.
I'm sorry.
This is
Alex of, looks very patient.
This
so
is
go
kind
ahead.
Of an every person question. So if you lease land to somebody and they build a building on it, if the lease runs out or you decide to rescind the lease, what do they have to do? Tear the building down? Michelle and I were kind of talking about that. I don't quite understand leasing land to build a building on it because the lease runs out. The building's still there.
Well, that would be under the terms of the lease, but, I mean, there's a lot of situations where they have, you know, where someone owns the ground and someone else. Obviously, it's going to be a long-term lease if you're going to build a building on it. I mean, you're not going to lease property for a year and put a building on it.
Yeah.
But if you lease the property for the life of the building, if the expected life of the building is 20 years and you have a 20-year lease, then
so it's kind of like what the land trust does?
Kind of like what we did with the fire station.
Yeah, I think,
okay.
Right. So basically, usually it's a very long-term lease, and then at the end of that time, then whatever's left over in terms of the building belongs to the landlord.
I'm never afraid to
generally
ask the question
speaking,
that
yes.
other people might be going, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Alex Brown.
I'm Alex Brown. I'm president of the Friends of the Carbar Branch Libraries, and I thought it would be sort of fun to just come up here and say thank you for a change. So thank you for all the work that you have done and that town staff has done in trying to locate potential sites for the future southern branch of the Orange County Library System. And we're enjoying this discussion and look forward to what happens next, and we would love for these three sites to go on to the county. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex. Mr. Giles.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the board. I'm Gary Giles. I'm a local architect here, a long-term resident of Carver. We, a group of us, got involved in thinking about the library siting, I guess, 2 years ago or more because of the county's proposal. And we didn't know how seriously it was talking about doing this, but it's gotten more serious with time. What we've come down to, and we've studied a number of sites, and we came up with at least three possibles, and the town hall site is one of the most favorable in our opinion. This is a graphic of the existing facilities. There's not very much information about those existing facilities. You know, there's not much documentation. Town has very poor documentation on its own site here and its own building. It is a building that lacks accessibility in a number of ways, and it's a building that needs a lot of attention. It's going to need a lot of attention. Really, we've been unable to determine the town's ultimate goal for this building. There's no long-range plan, as far as I know. haven't been able to determine. But we did talk with staff, members of engineering, and gathered as much information as we could. We did our own taping of the property around the building to arrive at the graphics that you're seeing in your packet. And I'll just go to the idea of the library here best fits on the back side of this this building between the farmer's market structure and the town hall. There are a number of things it does for you, but one of the key things about this site is it's publicly owned. There are other publicly owned sites that would also be a great asset to the town in terms of its negotiations with the county. The county, we don't have any leverage in terms of money, very little, as I understand it. So being able to afford to lease the site to the county offers us a great deal of leverage in terms of making some determinations about how the library is to function, we think. It also does not take property from the tax rolls, either for the county taxes or city taxes. It comes with infrastructure. We've got utilities at the site. It comes with zoning. We don't have to rezone. There's so many things about this, but for Carborough, it means that if we build here, there's a chance that we will improve a lot of the detrimental aspects of town hall accessibility. If we do a two-story addition or a two-story library, which is what we're recommending, or we think will work, it will involve an elevator. So you're going to have elevator access for this building when you use this in common for both facilities. You want to help me with that? I'd rather do it.
Yeah.
Would you press that?
Yeah, I think just scroll down there.
Yep. Yeah, this is upside down. Can we use this?
Okay.
Go overhead. Mm-hmm. Waste time, but I want to get this thing right. Okay, this is a ground floor schematic. Now, this is all schematic. None of this is architecture, but it's about like a bubble diagram. It's talking about relationships of what would be a library to the existing structure and to the farmer's market, basically on the site. The things that this illustrates are that the building of a library would clear the ground in back of here where the parking is. We would be actually building, we suggest building over the parking. And we would rearrange the entrance drive, so now the major part of the parking under the building is on access with Weaver Street. The front parking then is reconfigured to come into the side of this major axis, so you have a simpler flow, simpler circulation with the streets adjoining. What this does in a lot of ways is it gives protected parking to about 28 to 30 spaces. So elderly people or handicapped people are going to be protected. You can designate most of that parking for those purposes. The elevator is located in a commons adjoining this building, and it would serve both facilities. And then the next floor would be the primary floor of the library. It's on the same level that we're presently on. This is the main level of the municipal building, and the library would have the same. We got the wrong plan up here.
Can you switch back to
your... Oh, I'm using the wrong thing. Okay. Sorry about that. All right, this is the upper main level, and it shows the basic library floor and perhaps a courtyard between the facility and the municipal sewer. This court, interior court, would allow light to come into this level of both the existing facility and the library. It might include a meeting room, a new boardroom, which would be really a nice asset for both the town, the county, and other public entities that want to have meetings in have a larger space. The proximity to Farmers Market, you can see we have enough setback there for trucks and for its operation to still continue as it is. We're not, in our sort of schematic, we're only reaching about 16,000 square feet on two levels. So in order to meet the county's supposed need of 20,000 square feet, an expansion towards the south, which is dashed in this plan, on two levels would accommodate that needed footage. We're of the opinion that the nature of libraries is changing, that technology is affecting it greatly, and that there could be a reduction in square footage over time in the very near future, if not now. The standards by which the county is suggesting 20,000 feet, as I understood it, were derived from the standards of the North Carolina Library Association developed in the 1990s. To give you some idea, they have not changed in this last decade. And this is the upper floor, which is at the same level as your present second floor here. And the actual meeting space, boardroom, if you will, or would be sort of a two-story type space. We've located it sort of at this eastern end of what we're proposing, so that it can be developed architecturally as sort of a focal point for the whole complex. You'll see this the library or the town hall from as you come down Weaver Street. This could be a very prominent, well-lit addition. The other thing I have to say about this possible addition would be that it does not have to be, it's not dependent on the structure of this building. You can do this freestanding. It can be built, this facility, government functions could continue on uninterrupted. You would have staging issues in terms of the parking and taking care of that to get this project done. I have to say one other thing. One of the advantages of developing this in this location is that you have the opportunity of opening up the basement. Right now, the basement's about 2.5 feet below grade. We think that from the farmer's market slab, we can pitch the grades where the new parking would be under the library so that the ground floor, the basement level of this building could be opened up with glass and easy access. So we're actually taking as we realign the pavements, we are taking the grade down where the existing parking lot is and allowing stormwater to collect in that area and be taken out, but it basically allows accessibility directly into the basement level of this or to the elevator and to the other floors. We'd also be then allowing new restrooms to be developed, co-developed, if you will, so that the restrooms, two stairwells that are presently here and the elevator can all be used in common between the two facilities. So there's some great pluses here. We don't have a sprinkler system in terms of fire protection. This building is like a tinderbox, really. I hope you're storing valuable records off-site, because this place, if it goes up, it'll go up in a hurry. So it needs a sprinkler system. The new building will be required to have a sprinkler system. In conjunction, the one machine room for the sprinkler system pipework can be developed. There's some other ancillary co-uses or co-efficiencies in terms of having technology experts service both facilities, having personnel. Both personnels are public employees. And there's no reason over time that you can't see both sets working, especially in laws or when things change in terms of the growth of either one, that the employees can be working on issues that are not just library or not just town functions. So I think overall, we think having a library downtown, particularly this building, does a great deal for Carborough. I'd say the major asset of it is it adds great vitality to downtown. Mm-hmm. We talk about Carborough being a walkable city and one with all kinds of means to get places, and this would certainly add a great deal to that. A person can come to this location and do a lot of other errands on foot, whereas if it's in a suburban location, it's not going to be possible. So there's some great efficiencies in that realm. But I think it's the biggest asset will be what we can leverage to the county. I think we show the county that we have got something to put into this project. It's worth quite a bit, actually. We're not putting trees down. We've got the possibility of good, efficient design. We can actually eliminate a big heat sink that we have out here with all this exposed parking. So a lot of things that, with more consideration, I think you'll see that this is a great site to provide to the county. In fact, I hope you don't include suburban sites. We think downtown Carborough has two or three sites that would work really well for the library and would be adding greatly to the vitality here.
Thanks very much, Gary.
Thank you for all your work on this, Gary. Thank you.
We enjoy it. And, I would say one other thing, that the CBS project, if it were to go through, is another great site to be looking at. CBS has already said they would build a library facility on top. And it being in the very center of Carborough would be a plus. There's more parking available down there. And I think it's just a question of whether you see that project as a possibility.
All right. Thanks. Is there anybody else who came here to speak to the board? Come on up.
I'm sorry. I really wasn't aware of the nature of this, but I can't get here.
Thank you.
My name is Gordon Mitchell. I'm representing Mrs. Frances Shetley, and I just want to make a couple of comments on her land. One is there are no streams. There are no building constrictions. There is the power line right-of-way, but that can be an asset because that can be totally used for parking, just as they do over, for example, at the Vilcom Center on Weber Dairy Road. Some of your data on the biking and walking to these two locations nearby could be considered to be somewhat skewed, because they will also contain a lot of the UNC student population who probably will not be users of the library. The other point I would like to make on Mrs. Shetley's property is that it is in the geographic center of Carborough. It's almost identical to the geographic center of Carborough as determined by your mapping department. Of course, it has all the other criteria of bus routes, schools, It also is a more accessible location if you're keeping in mind that this is supposed to be a Southwest Orange County library site, and it will be easier for people in the county to reach this site. I think those are the main points I wanted to make that may not have been covered. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Gordon. All right. So we have three proposed sites in front of us. Let me just start by asking y'all whether any of these sites are sort of out of the question from the board's point of view. Okay. All right, if I may, I don't want to suggest that it's out of the question, but I do want to put it, I do want to make some comments about the town hall site that, I just want to try and put that site into context, because while I agree with Mr. Giles about a lot of the advantages that the Carrboro town hall site would have, I also have some significant reservations about the notion of building it here, and it's not a matter of being opposed to that or trying to rule that possibility out, but I just want to say that if you look at the town of Carrboro's five-year capital improvements plan, and I know you already have many times, but if we go back and review our capital improvements plan for the town of Carrboro, you'll see that there's a long list of capital improvements that are needed. Drainage improvements, a park site at Martin Luther King Park, a number of other bicycle and pedestrian projects, street resurfacing, a new public works site outside of the floodplain in Morgan Creek. There were many things on that list. Some of them, for example, making a new public works site, that's not actually even in the plan, because the plan is only the next 5 years, and we show things like new public works site as year six and following. In other words, not even making it into the plan quite yet. And I'll just say that while I absolutely agree with the points that Mr. Giles makes about some of the limitations that Carrboro Town Hall has and the fact that there are a number of upgrades that are needed here at Town Hall, that none of the upgrades at Town Hall are even listed among year six and following. In other words, my point just being that not only do we not have the money in the next 5 years to make any upgrades to Carrboro Town Hall, we don't even have it at this point on our financial radar to put aside money anywhere, even in the distant future, to make improvements to Town Hall. And while I realize that the proposal for a library site that would be here at Town Hall, is the notion is that the county would pay for and build that library here. There were a number of things that were mentioned in the presentation that would involve, I mean, for example, he threw out a fantastic idea that appeals to me a lot of having a modernized boardroom for us to meet in, but I don't think it's realistic to think that the county is going to pay for that. You know, that's not going to be a part of the county's budget for a library. So just to say that while there are many great aspects to the proposal that Gary Giles put forward, that some of those are undoubtedly things that the county would expect us to pay for if they were going to happen. And not only do we not have the money now, we don't have it in our five-year plan for the future, and in fact, we don't even have it in the kind of unfunded category of year six and following. So I just want, and that doesn't mean you can't do a library here, but it means that you need to realize that if a library site were going to be here at Town Hall, that it probably would not include many of the upgrades to Carrboro Town Hall that Mr. Giles mentioned in his presentation, at least unless somebody has a winning lottery ticket that I don't know about or something. I have some other comments.
You've got the floor.
Yeah,
well. All right. Well, I don't want to hog it, but I think my other overall comment is Well, two other things. One is regarding the possibility of a site on Fidelity Street, that, if I'm not mistaken, the site we're discussing is adjacent to the property that belongs to the Carver Alliance Club. And I just want to point out that I think one possibility is that we and or the county could approach the folks from the Lions Club about the opportunities to kind of collaborate with the Lions Club. It's a charitable organization whose mission is very much, as an organization, is very much in line with what the county and the town are both trying to accomplish here. And it just seems to me, and it, although the Lions Club has been around in Carver for a very long time, that there are fewer and fewer members of the club today than compared to 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, and that the opportunity might be there somehow to collaborate with them on the use of some or all of their land in creating a library, so that there might be, I guess my point being, there might be more land available at that site on Fidelity Street than is immediately obvious, and that the cost to the public need not necessarily be tremendous. Mm-hmm. So I just point that out as maybe an additional opportunity there, and that's something that kind of attracts me in that direction as a county taxpayer. So I hope that the county staff would explore that. And then if I may, one final thing I want to say is, you know, I've said a number of times that, and Mr. Giles made this point very well, that, you know, it seems like the 20,000 square foot number is based on some 20th century assumptions, and that I think that is an issue that our county commissioners should explore and think about whether there really is something magical about 20,000 square feet in particular. And I'll point out especially that, for example, at one point a couple of years ago, we had Alderman Haven O'Donnell helped facilitate some discussions between the county staff and some of the commissioners and the developers of 300 East Main Street about the possibility of putting this facility inside of their development. And there were a couple different issues that were identified about that idea that that at least at that time the folks on the county commission seemed unwilling to consider it. And one was that it would not be possible to get in that development, it would not be possible to get 20,000 square feet on one floor. So if you wanted to do 20,000 square feet, it would have to be two floors. But number one, I think the question of one floor versus two floors is something the county commissioners should reconsider. And number two, I think the whole assumption that it necessarily must be 20,000 square feet is something that should be revisited. And right now, as we heard tonight, the only part of the 300 East Main Street redevelopment project that is moving forward is the hotel and the parking deck. The parking deck because we're involved, and the hotel indirectly because of our involvement. But the front two buildings on that site that would be directly on Main Street together between them, they're connected together between them. The second floor of those two buildings amounts to 10,000 plus square feet, for example. Those buildings are supposed to be 50,000 square feet total, five stories. You know, I just want to put out there the thought that if the county were committed to purchasing the second story, for example, and there's an elevator in the building, by the way, but if the county committed to purchasing the second story or even the second and third stories, if that's what we really need, then that might put the developers in a position to move forward with those two buildings and to build. And while the parts that the county purchases, the whatever 20% or 40% of the building that the county purchases would be tax exempt, of course. You know, the other 60 to 80% of the building would be taxable. And so you're talking about 30,000 or possibly even 40,000 square feet of new commercial space that would be valued at easily, at minimum, at $200 a square foot. That is to say, 30 to 40,000 square feet times $200 a square foot is $6 to $8 million. The tax bill on that is $120,000 to $160,000 at a minimum. Now, some of that's town revenues, some of it's county revenues, but I guess the point being that, you know, I still think there's a huge opportunity here to, instead of having a new library facility in our community, be a net constant red ink aspect of our county budget, to have it be something that inspires the growth of our downtown, the growth of our commercial area, and the growth of our commercial tax base. So all of which is to say, I'm willing to consider all three of the notions that have been put forward here tonight, but I really feel like the county commissioners ought to, and I don't mean to entirely single out 300 East Main Street, because I suppose, for example, the point Mr. Giles made about another site downtown, and probably there's some other possibilities as well. But the point being, not whether they work with 300 East Main Street, but to say, if we would simply reconsider some of the criteria that have, you know, apparently been handed down to us from heaven, and take a little bit broader view and say, well, maybe there's some other, maybe we could be a little bit more open-minded about the nature of this facility, that we might be able to get some tax revenue benefits to the community that would come from this development. And I really feel like, you know, perhaps the opportunity is there for the county commissioners to think about that in a different light. We're going to have some new members of that board. And anyway, I'm hopeful that this board will kind of pass along that thought to the commissioners. Dan, Lydia, and Randy.
Yeah, a few things. First of all, I think that's a really good point about the fact that we have three new commissioners, and it's really worth having some conversations to try and broach some of these ideas that as recently as what, last spring, were not received very well by the county, because you're absolutely right that those are 20th century ideas, and we're in the 21st century, and things are changing. And I want to follow up on what you said, that it might be worthwhile to ask staff to touch base with Main Street Partners as to whether, you know, on that 2016-17 time frame, is there some proposal that they would put forward, you know, whether along the lines you're saying, that it might help jumpstart their project or whatever, because, you know, that might be a suitable place for that to originate. In terms of the town hall site, I kind of agree with you, Mark. I think that there's the potential for, and I think Giles was kind of, Gary was getting at, you know, some of the potential for that site to do something like very almost visionary, forward-thinking, that would create a really fantastic public facility. But like Mark, I cannot really wrap my head around how we would get there. And I think if we can't wrap our heads around it, then, you know, we can be pretty sure the county won't either, again, because of that 20th century thing that's involved there. But I do think that the walkability and bikeability numbers for the downtown locations are really compelling. And I also think that the proximity to the farmers market, because the farmers market, even though it's called the Carborough's Farmers Market, and we love it as such, it functions very similar to how the library will, as the Southwest or South Orange Farmers Market. And I got in touch with Sarah Blackwin over the weekend to find out that they get their weekly average in the summer market is about 7,000 visitors, and they have it broken down by zip code, which isn't entirely helpful because 27516 is a lot of Carrboro as well as everything west of here for quite a ways. But 27516 is a very significant part of the patronage. And my point being that there's great synergy that not just will those thousands of people who are downtown be walking to the library, but it means the people who are driving in to the farmers market can then walk to the library or vice versa. And so, you know, from an environmental standpoint, from just the standpoint of minimizing trips and time for those people, I think that's really valuable. So my own inclination would be to let the county know that we're not opposed to any of these, and while suggesting that they change some of their criteria and look more broadly, but to highlight the Fidelity Street location as the one that really has, both in terms of the property itself, but particularly in terms of its siting, really has the kind of features that would be best suited for a library.
Lydia, and then.
Yeah, I like all three sites. I mean, I think we ought to send them all forward. They all have their pros and cons. I mean, the Fidelity Street site is an excellent site. Of course, it's one of the few nice buildable lots that we own, and so we'd be kind of giving up or leasing or converting the use of that lot, you know, taking it off of our kind of list of properties we own. But I want to speak specifically to the town hall site, because I know that the town hall site certainly has some challenges, but as we heard, I mean, it has lots and lots of positives. And I hear, Mark, exactly what you're saying cost-wise, how it's not even in our CIP right now. But, you know, I sometimes kind of look at this building and wonder what's going to happen to it someday. So I think one thing that we ought to do, whether this ends up being our choice for the county's choice for the library or not, I think some kind of discussion about, you know, where this building is going sometime, I think is worth exploring sometime. Because I often have folks here and we're out in the farmer's market and they look up and see the athletic equipment upstairs, and they want to know what's going on up there. And I say, well, really nothing, because the building's, you know, kind of precarious. But, you know, there might be some type of creative financing and or cost savings that we could have if the library were to be located beside us here. For instance, you know, this idea of leasing our property. I mean, our property is a commodity. So the county would be saving some $600,000 in purchase of property. So there could be some offset of monies that way that we might get from the county or have to go toward some upfitting of this building. Even if it meant that we had a sprinkler system in this building or had, you know, elevators or other enhancements that right now are some 20 years off at the earliest, it might be worth piggybacking on a project in a way to do some upfitting to this building. Again, it might be totally off the rolls in Arch, and the financial folks would be the ones to have to kind of help figure that out. But for those reasons, I wouldn't want to kind of completely dismiss it based on finances.
Okay. Well, this has been a long process just to get us to this conversation, and I'm just delighted we're finally having this conversation. So I want to thank Orange County for helping us move it ahead from the other Hillsborough site. I'm in favor of keeping all three on the list. I'm in favor of asking the county to also look at other downtown spaces. I agree with Mark that, especially with the changeover that is going to be occurring in downtown and the great push forward that the county has on looking to grow its tax base, it makes perfect sense to multi-purpose any siting of our library so that we either co-join a property that is co-owned by the county, for example, the looking at working. Let's say we looked at Hillsborough, 1128 Hillsborough Shetley property. Then, it would work with the park. That's a multi-purpose use. If we looked at the town hall, as Lydia pointed out, the town hall offers lots of possibilities in terms of partnerships. And of course, as was pointed out with Fidelity Street, the potential partnership with the Lions Club is also great. And I think we really need to look at multi-use and how we undergird and expand our tax base as we move forward. I think libraries, as an educator, I've watched over the last 30, 40 years how libraries have shifted, and working with the task force, repeated task force, in fact, to see that, initially they wanted 24,000 square feet. Now they're stemming it back to 20. What does that tell you if that shift has only occurred in the last 8 years? It tells you that we shouldn't be designing a library by square feet alone. So I think that statement is very important, that we ask the county to relook at size, relook at the question of the potential second story and other spaces downtown that complement the increase of commercial tax base. So tax revenue, I should say. So I agree with all three. And I would add that on a fourth, that would be continuing to look for other spaces of interest downtown.
Lydia, Michelle.
My name.
Michelle. And then Jackie.
No, you've talked the least. So I agree with what most folks said, and obviously I want to treat this decision with intention and care, and or this recommendation with that. What I hear us most talking about are the two downtown locations, even though we're saying we want to forward all three. So I'm wondering about the strategy of that. Is it advantageous for us to forward all three if we're really, really interested in what most people have said is they've talked about this location and Fidelity, as well as looking at other downtown sites? And I'm not sure that includes, if we're including 1128 Hillsborough in our downtown sites. The other thing is that I agree with Dan that the walkability and bikeability in the two downtown locations was compelling. There are many more people who walk and bike to this location or this area of downtown than the Hillsborough location. And to walk to the Hillsborough Road location, it would take 35 minutes. So I'm sure people would get in their cars to drive to the Hillsborough Road location, and we want to promote less cars out there. And I also wonder, I know folks who are here have been waiting for a library for a long time, and I don't know how much it would delay the process for the county to look for other downtown sites. I don't have a judgment or assumption about that. I just don't know how much longer that would take. I think we can encourage them to do that and to change the criteria and be mindful that folks are really wanting a library now. I also am curious about the feasibility of the library here. I mean, your presentation was awesome. You, sold me on it. It's amazing. And I'm not sure that I don't know how feasible it is. I don't know how to weigh the limitations of this site versus the other sites because they all have different limitations. So I think we need some clarity about whether we really want to send all three sites. I'm not opposed to that. And what I heard us talking about are downtown locations.
Jackie and then Michelle.
Michelle.
Just teasing.
I already talked.
Just teasing.
And then Dan.
I think it's great that we have three viable sites before us. I think that's exciting. I tend to favor the two that are downtown for location reasons and because we already own them, with the exception maybe of working with Lions Club to expand. I really like the idea of some kind of public-private partnership, Mark's idea, not only to get a library, but to expand the tax base at the same time. It's not really that different than what we're doing with the parking lot, with the hotel. My fantasy for years has been, you know, we're now using the lot on the corner of Carr and Greensboro for parking. It filled up the day we opened it legally, the day we put lines on it, it filled up. I'm very worried about the day that we have to take that offline. I don't think our downtown businesses are going to be all that thrilled. I would like to at least explore. I know it's an expensive piece of property, but if there was a three-way partnership between the library, I mean, between the county, Carrboro, and a private entity to buy that, keep the first level as parking, then have a library on the second level, and then some kind of revenue generating something. I can think of a lot of people who may love to live downtown Carrboro over a library. You know, there, you could be guaranteed that there wouldn't be heavy duty parties at night beneath you, or maybe there would. So I still would like to look at the Carr Greensboro property, at least to keep it in play for a lot of reasons. But I'm delighted that we have such great options in front of us.
Lydia.
Yeah, just quickly. I wanted to first of all address Michelle's question about the three locations, and I will say that I am equally supportive of the Hillsborough Road site as the downtown ones. In fact, I think it and the town hall are my two favorites, even over the Fidelity one, for different reasons. They both, I think, have a lot of positives. So, you know, it's not that far from downtown. It's accessible. It's by the park. I mean, all the pluses that we know about. So I think that's a very strong location. It's available. It's cheap, you know. I mean, let's keep in mind, a year and a half ago, the county was ready to purchase the property. And I'm, you know, some of what I'm hearing here tonight is great. You know, we've identified at least two other, specific sites, East Main Street and Roberson Square, the where the lot is, that we would like to maybe ask the county to look into. But I'd really like to see us, kind of send forward these three, ask them to look into those two, and then encourage them to move on with it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm really kind of like to see a location identified as soon as we can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I also want to follow up on Michelle's comment with not the opposite conclusion of Lydia's, but a different one, because I do think that from the standpoint of the kinds of values we've been putting forward as a board and as a town over the last decade and how we want the town to develop, I think the Hillsborough Road is the weakest site because it's not as conducive to alternative transportation. It's not building on the kind of multi-use, dense core that we've envisioned for Carrboro that really should have a library as part of it. And at the same time, I think that it's possible that that could be the site that is most attractive to the commissioners or certain elements of county staff, at least based on what I heard at the last discussion that we had with the commissioners about this. I guess it was last spring. And so I think from my standpoint, although, again, I don't think it would be bad to have a library there, I think it is the weakest of the sites, and that in what we put forward, I think we should, I would want to say so, you know, and whether a majority of the board agrees with me, I don't know, but I would like to say that we're okay with that, but we think a downtown location is better for XYZ reasons, and put it forward in that way.
I think that I could easily do that. I could easily just go with the downtown sites and, and pull away from the Hillsborough site. However, I really want to give the county a chance to look at three viable sites that we're comfortable with. I fear if we only give them downtown sites, they're going to be thinking, as we've heard them say, that we're only Carrboro-centric and that we're not thinking about, that folks have to drive from Southwest Orange. And I know we all don't see it that way, but I'm trying to put on the hat that sees it from the county point of view, and I really want to be able to send a signal to the county that that we are thinking about things that they consider. I do want us to, you know, push them for more flexibility, but I also want to recognize and show them that we recognize their interest in something that is potentially not immediately downtown, even though I hear you. I agree with you, but I also understand that we're in a position to be able to show the county that we understand what they've been asking for.
Well, let me kind of shift gears on you and ask put a different issue out there, which is, I spoke specifically about the possibility of incorporating the 300 East Main Street. Jack, you mentioned another possibility, which I think is, viable, potentially viable. I mentioned 300 East Main Street really only because they have all their permits and they're still working on their project and they're still trying to move forward. And we heard from them that they were interested in this possibility.
Right.
Not to say, I don't know whether still, I haven't talked to them in a long time about it, but, point being, because it was a clear possibility, at least from the developer's point of view, it seemed to be a clear possibility. I am concerned about the notion that, I'm not trying to show some favoritism toward 300 East Main Street as opposed to some other possibility that might be out there. And we are talking about something that the county would build, at the soonest, like 4 years from now. So, I think if, one possibility is that if we wanted to seriously pursue that, we could issue some kind of request for proposals or something like that, or alternately suggest to the county the notion of a request for proposals. Although if it's a county-initiated request for proposals, entirely assist them in the way that they're asking for assistance tonight, which is some clarity from us about kind of what works for town government. So, what about that? I don't want to go through a lengthy RFP process and have it be just a big waste of time for both for town staff and for potential respondents to the RFP to such an RFP. But on the other hand, if there are some people who have some realistic ideas on that front, I do want to hear them.
And the county, from what it sounds like, isn't ready to start building the library next summer. So if we're going to do it and the RFP process takes time,
this is the time to do it.
So conclusion that I draw from that is that would be worth doing if we thought it was something that we could do, over the course of the next, like, 6 months
six
or something
months.
Like that, and still get back. We could basically pass forward to the county the three sites that are before us and also go through that through that effort just to see what proposals might be out there.
Would it even need to be 6 months? February?
Mark, do you not think it's generally known that we're looking for a library site? And we've heard from several people during this discussion who are not part of what the town came up with.
That's true, and I'll tell you, truthfully, I hear, I would say, about once a month from people with some crazy property that they can't sell. That they're looking to unload onto us or onto the county as a purported library site, And none of them came forward tonight, but...
What time with the 19?
But
right.
We should ask Lucinda if they're, you know, were we to go forth with the three and issue an RFP, would that slow down the process? Or would we have to create an alternate...
Almost by definition.
It's not moving that fast anyway.
Certainly, but on the other hand...
You know, if we have three and we ask for them to look at three or ask for two of the three for them to look at, then that's very precise. But once we start to open it up, I think we open ourselves up to, you know, potential delays. So what...
I am not... In all honesty, ma'am, I'm really not fully... prepared to answer that this evening. I do think, though, that is a very good question that maybe the town manager would like to put forward to the county if the board does go ahead and recommend all three or two or one of these sites tonight, just that perhaps the manager could forward that question on to Manager Clifton, and then that could be a discussion just that they could have, because they would be much more knowledgeable about it than I would. So I hesitate to answer you, ma'am, but I would probably be the best route would be to go from manager to manager.
Which means that could open up.
David, do you have a comment on
delay?
Well, I was just going to say that if you wanted to go out and solicit proposals, you know, given the holidays, and we could probably have something out, you know, maybe early January, 30 days. We might have some response. You know, if we got on it right away and evaluated, maybe like March. And I believe Frank had said April, but I think it's flexible. I mean, like you said, there's four more years for construction.
All right.
If you think that it would be add value to the process.
It can't hurt. I think you could maybe ferret out something or come up with some more creative ideas, like maybe somebody else is getting ready to do a big project and they're thinking, hey, I could do that.
We're kind of thinking someone specifically downtown. Seems like we're...
From my point of view, the RFP, well, ideally it would really get to this question of does somebody have a proposal not for selling us their property for us or the county, their property for some exorbitant sum, but does somebody have a proposal that kind of leverages some additional commercial tax base in our community? That's really the question I'm interested in.
I'm very much interested in that as well, except I have a feeling if we were going to do an RFP that we have two questions that we really need the county to answer first, which has to do with the flexibility we're asking about size and about second story if we're looking at downtown, because that is the filter from which, if we go through an RFP process and, you know, it's something which they'd automatically cut off the board, then we've lost 9 months. Mm-hmm. So that's the only piece, that's the caveat for me about, you know, doing that. So,
it would also impact how you would write the RFP.
Right. So, you know,
maybe we need to hear first from the county commissioners in December whether they're willing to rethink
what
a library is before we send out the RFP.
Well, that would be very convenient if we could hear from them on that kind of time frame. I mean, we're not in a position to kind of set their agenda for them, and they probably don't have very many meetings in December like us. So, you know,
I meant when their new board comes out.
Well, why couldn't we
talk to Penny?
Well, so that's really more like January,
and Mark individually.
But why couldn't we, in the meantime, send these three and and additionally ask, you know, our manager to follow up on those two questions, to have the Board of Commissioners look at those two questions about flexibility in terms of space size and second.
Okay, and then if we hear that there's some flexibility, then pursue an RFP.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
But I'm trying to suggest we also do some groundwork for that question going to county with the three new commissioners in terms of making sure they've been exposed to
So I'm going to make that a motion.
21st century thinking on that. I'll second whatever your motion was.
to go forth with these three and have the our manager look at having the two questions and flexibility looked at.
And depending on the
outcome
of that, perhaps to bring us a proposal for an RFP.
Okay.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Matter passed unanimously.
Thank you.
Before we go to the next agenda item, it appears that I have failed to catch something that I should have caught, which is that the establishment of the occupancy tax does require a public hearing. And so we will need to schedule that for maybe January. I think everything else that you've done can go forward. In other words, we can establish the board and we can go forward recruiting
okay.
it, but technically you've got to have a public hearing. And I apologize. I should have caught that. But
that's all right. Is there a motion to set that as part of our public hearing for January? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
All right.
All
right.
Opposed.
Thanks for catching it, Mike.
Matter passed unanimously. All right, very good. We have a hopefully brief closed session item that we need to take care of.
On a personnel matter?
Yeah.
It's either this meeting or the next meeting. I also need to have a closed session for matters and the attorney-client privilege having to do with SAPO, basically. It should be a 5-minute, 10-minute discussion, so either tonight or next time, it's up to you.
Move we enter closed session for personnel matter and for matter of attorney-client privilege.
Okay.
Could you cancel your November 27th meeting since we don't have any items for next Tuesday?
Gosh, yeah.
Yes.
All right. We'll take that as a motion from Michelle.
Second.
Seconded by Dan. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Matter passed unanimously. All right, y'all.
All right, y'all.
Good night.
We need to vote on that going to close session.
It's been moved. Is there been a second
to go
to close? It's been seconded. All those in favor of going to close session, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Matter passed unanimously. I think we're also in recess for a minute and a half.
Okay.